Isaiah 55, reading verse 1. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Ye that no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come by wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with thee, with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, I shall call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Once again, the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. Just about a month ago, I was in Silver Springs, Maryland, and they had a gospel effort there, and they put out 4,000 of these brochures, The Road to. When I received it in the mail prior to the meetings, that put my wheels in motion to look at several of the roads that are recorded in the Word of God. Two souls came to the Savior during these days in Silver Springs, Maryland. And so we want to look with you today at the road to deliverance. The road to deliverance. The Lord said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will abundantly pardon. We're traveling on one or two roads. The Lord Jesus says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Roads play a tremendous part in our lives, everyday life. If you're traveling along the highway and you make the right exit and you get on the right road, that's a delight. But if you go off the highway and you hit the wrong road, that can be a disaster. I was in Montreal, heading for Ottawa for a conference, and I took the wrong road, and I landed in downtown Montreal. Well, you get an American with a Scottish accent asking for directions in Montreal, you've got a big problem. We were all over the place, the wrong road. The day we were born, we were put on a broad road, and the ultimate end is destruction. Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, and by one man sin entered into the world. Death by sin, for death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. When Adam listened to Satan, great was the fall, and his posterity ever since on the broad road that leads to destruction, and the speaker is the Lord Jesus. And when he speaks, we ought to listen carefully to what he says. But it is possible to a change of direction, the road to deliverance. And that takes place at Calvary's intersection. Many years ago, again in Silver Springs, Maryland, a young, brilliant mathematician spoke to us after the meeting. He says, "The plan of salvation is far too simple. I must make some contribution." So I took him to Revelation 22. "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Ah, he says, I see it now. This is a gift. Freely, this is a gift. I must make that U-turn. And that night, he made that U-turn at Calvary's intersection and went from the broad road to the narrow road. You know what his name was? Malachi. That's a good Bible name. We went from there to Flint, Michigan, and a boy got saved called Joel. I've been looking for Habakkuk ever since. The wonders of God. I must make that U-turn. Apparently, back in Scotland on one trip, my uncle, not saved, came to a conference where I was speaking. And I told about Malachi making that U-turn. Years later, I was back in Scotland, went to visit my uncle, who was in a serious accident. And he says to me, he says, "You know, Neil, I thought I was going to die." That means die in Scotland. "I thought I was going to die." And he said, "You know, I'm not ready to die. I must make that U-turn." He remembered that illustration. And the dear man got on his knees, and with the joy, my wife and I with him, joy of seeing him making that U-turn, and came to Calvary. And then headed on the narrow road for glory. One of the great avenues of Bible study is what we call the sectional method. That God brings certain portions of his word to give us a specific section. For example, we link Psalm 22, 23 and 24 together. Psalm 22, we have the Lord as the good shepherd. Psalm 23, the great shepherd. And Psalm 24, the chief shepherd. Well, here is one of these great sections of God's Word, Isaiah 53, 54, and 55. In Isaiah 53, there we have the Savior's renown. God says, "Therefore, because of what he did, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, because he has poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors." The Savior renowned. In the chapter 54, we have the Savior revealed, and he says, "Enlarge," the Savior's request, "enlarge the place of thy tent." His renown, his request. Here in 55, we have the Savior revealed. No salvation without the Lord Jesus. So in verse 1, we have the gift of salvation. In verses 2 and 3, the guarantee of salvation. In verse 4, the God of salvation. And in verses 6 and 7, the ground of salvation. You remember when Jonah was traveling along in the God-constructed submarine, the whale, he suddenly hollered out, "Salvation is of the Lord." An old whale must have been the first modernist. For the moment Jonah says salvation is of the Lord, the whale had an intestinal disorder, and doubt went Jonah. He didn't go seaward. He went landward. He landed on solid ground. And that is ever God's purpose. We land on solid ground. On Christ, the solid rock we stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Notice verse 1 again, the gift of salvation. It is universal, in its presentation. Secondly, it is unlimited in its purpose. And thirdly, inestimable in its price. Universal in its purpose. It's for everyone. Oh, everyone that does. Thank God, his salvation is available to everyone. I was only a boy of 13 years of age when at a conference back in Edinburgh, Scotland, I was awakened to a sense of my need through John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. It's for everyone. And I've had the privilege, the luxury of preaching the gospel in many countries and seeing how effectual the gospel is in reaching those, everyone. The Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's for everyone. Universal in its presentation, and the Lord says, come. We must respond to the invitation and come. It is unlimited in its purpose. There's a reference there to water and to wine and milk. Water speaks of satisfaction. The woman in John's Gospel, chapter 4, was ostracized from society because of her lifestyle. And she sat at noonday upon a well. She was a Samaritan. And the Lord Jesus purposely went out of his way, knowing her need. He crossed the boundary line because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritan. But you see, friend, he is the universal lover. He loves everyone. And he crossed from Judaism over the line to meet this woman in her need by Sychar's well. The Lord knew her history because he knows everything. He is the omniscient one. And during the conversation with that woman, the Lord said to her, whoso drinketh of this water, Jacob's well, shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And it shall be in him as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. She said, sir, give me this water. She went headed back into the city of Sychar, and she met the men of the city with whom she was well acquainted. She says, come, come. Come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they were influenced by her testimony, and they beckoned the Lord Jesus to stay longer with them, and they said, we have seen him ourselves, and we know him to be the Savior of the world. He is the only one that can give us satisfaction. We used to sing in the old redemption hymn book, I tried the broken cistern's Lord, and the waters fail. E'en as I stoop to drink, they fled, and mock me as I wail. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Water speaks of satisfaction. There's a reference in verse 1 to milk. Milk. Milk in the scriptures speaks to us of nourishment. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Too many people today, like the prodigal, they would fain would fill their belly with the husks of the swine would eat. But here is one who can give present and eternal satisfaction. Then there's a reference to wine. Wine in the scriptures speaks to us of joy. Joy. The Lord Jesus poured in oil and wine into the man who was half dead on the road to Jericho. Wine speaks of joy. Oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you,
having been involved in the gospel for many years, there's nothing to be compared with the joy of knowing Jesus as a personal Savior. We had meetings in Detroit, Michigan, and a lady, Mrs. Barclay, now up there in Pittsboro, a Christian village there, she befriended a gentleman and his wife. He was an ex-Jesuit priest from Montreal. 14 years he taught in his seminary. He left that system and married this lady in Detroit. So she witnessed to him about the Lord Jesus, Mrs. Barclay. She said, there are two preachers in town. Would you like to meet them? He said, sure, bring them along. We went along to this dear man. He was a real gentleman, a real theologian. But he said to us that day, you know, I taught theology all those years in a seminary, but there's still a void in my heart. I said, his name was Jack Lefebvre. I said, Jack, let me ask you a question. Was there ever a time that you received the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior? No, he said, I talked about him. I said, well, that's your problem. You must open up the heart's door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. We were amazed. He said, well, let's get on with it. So we showed him the whole plan of salvation. And that dear man, that day, he confessed his sin not to the archbishop or the cardinal. He confessed his sin to the Lord. Well, I said, Jack, God has given you a great gift. He said, yes. Do you think you could thank him? And he prayed and thanked the Lord again for saving his soul. To the left of us was a gentleman to whom we'd not been introduced. He started jumping around, thumping his chest and pointing up. My colleague says, what's going on? Mrs. Lefebvre says, that's my brother Elmer. He's a deaf mute. And he's just gotten saved. Well, now, wait a minute. We had no communication. I can't communicate with a deaf mute, nor my colleague. No, but when you were talking to Jack, he was reading your lips. And as we went out the door, that dear man hugged us, and he's pointing heavenward. The joy of the soul you know about. Joy. The Lord Jesus is the one that can bring us supreme joy. And notice, friend, it is not only universal in its purpose, in its presentation, unlimited in its purpose, but we see here it's inestimable in its price. It's without money and without price. A substitute Sunday school teacher was having a problem with this verse. So she said to the class, how can you ever buy something without money and without price? This little girl says, charging. And you know, that's exactly what it's all about. We charge it to his account. The Lord paid for it in the currency of his precious blood. And children can get a point across, can't they? One day, a scientist, a godless scientist, was trying to refute the significance of the children of Israel going through the Red Sea. He says, certain times of the year, he says, winds and currents, there's only 6 inches of water. This kid hollered out. He says, praise the Lord, it's a far greater miracle than I ever expected. Pharaoh, his horses and his men all drowned in 6 inches of water. Children are more upstairs than many of these scientific adults. Inestimable in its price. Poets is the maker of the universe. As man for man was made a curse. The claims of law that he had made, unto the uttermost he paid. His holy fingers formed the bow. For with the thorns that crowned his brow, the nails that pierced his hands were mine, in secret places he designed. He made the forest whence are sprung, the tree on which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hill on which it stood. The sun which hid from him his face, Why, his decree was poised in space. The skies which darkened o'er his head, by him above the earth was spread. The spear which spilt his precious blood was tempered in the fires of God. The grave in which his form was laid were hewn in rocks his hands had made. But the throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years, and a new glory crowns his brow. Every knee to him shall bow. My friend, every human being, every person in heaven, on the planet earth, and under the earth will bow the knee to Jesus. Things in heaven, terrestrial beings, angels love to bow the knee. Celestial beings, terrestrial, every person that ever breathed fresh air on this planet earth will bow the knee to Jesus. Either in time or at the great white throne. No evasion. And things under the infernal beings, Satan, the beast, the false prophet, bow the knee to our blessed Savior. And what a day that will be. The gift of salvation. Verses 2 and 3, the guarantee of salvation. He speaks there about the soul. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? There are those today who try to give to the good cause with the hope of one day God will recognize what they have done and take them to heaven. That's not what the scripture says. We cannot pay for salvation. It was paid in the currency of precious blood by our Savior. And we can't work for it. There are religious groups out there, and they say, work, work, work. Paul says, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. And to him that worketh not but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You can't pay for it, and you can't work for it. A dear friend of mine, Norman Simpson, up in Glen Head, Long Island, was over in St. Paul's Cathedral a year ago, and here's a cleric running around with his long flowing garden, and he said, I'd like to ask you a few questions. He said, sure. And so he asked a few questions. Well, he knew much about the dimension of the building. So finally my friend said to this cleric, can you tell me how to get to heaven? Well, he said, if you do the best you can and try and fulfill the Ten Commandments, you might make it. My colleague said, my friend said, but what does it mean to be born again? Well, that cleric blew a gasket and he took off. He says, that's Lutheranism. No, says my friend, that's Jesusism. It was the Lord who said, you must be born again. These men with religious backgrounds that don't know the Lord as a personal Savior are indeed a stumbling block to all that come in contact with them. So here we have the soul delivered. We have the soul's delight, and we have the soul's destiny. The soul delivered. Your soul shall live. The soul is a very, very choice vehicle within humanity. Soul can be redeemed by the precious blood. But the Lord said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the person that rejects the Lord Jesus, theirs is ultimate destruction. Deliver. The Lord says, come, and your soul shall live. Karl Marx once made the remark, workers of the universe. And he says, must be free and must have an abundance. The Lord Jesus says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Karl Marx, the founder of totalitarianism, said, workers of the world unite. You've nothing to lose but your chains and the whole world to gain. wonder if he was here today what he would think of communism. But the Lord Jesus has the answer. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? I had meetings up there in the Kennefly some time ago, and a lady said, my brother-in-law has just sold his ice cream franchise for $80 million. I said, invite him to the meeting. He's not interested in the Bible or in preaching, period. $80 million. A week later, I saw in the obituary column his death. A week later. Gone. And left $80 million. The soul is priceless and can be delivered, as the scripture says. Notice the soul's delight, and let the soul delight itself in fatness. Only delight can be found in the Lord Jesus. Why, the psalmist says, happy is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered, and to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. And thirdly, the soul's destiny. The everlasting covenant. See the guarantee? Everlasting covenant. And the sure mercies of David. We could spend a whole week looking at the sure mercies of David. He says, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. David says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is the soul's destiny. It's either hell or heaven, either the pit or the palace of the king. I was down in Spanish Wells in the Bahamas, having very productive meetings. 27 souls came to the Savior in 1 month. The Lord moved in a remarkable way. Next to the apartment where we lived was an elderly lady, and her mind was completely out of it. Didn't know her family, didn't know where she was, nothing. But I used to visit her. One day I went in with a brother, Hazel Albury from Manowar Quay, just to see this dear old sister. I began to quote the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. And to my amazement, she began to come in word for word. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And down, down, down she went. So I thought I would trick her. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for a week. She says, a week? She says, forever. She almost jumped out of bed after me. See, the Lord had centered that in her mind. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And dear Aunt Melba is now in the Lord's presence. The guarantee of salvation. Quickly to verse 4. The God of salvation. Notice three things are recorded here: a witness, a leader, and a commander. The Lord is a witness to believe, he is a leader to follow, and he is a commander to obey. He is the faithful witness, a witness to believe. In Revelation chapter 1, we see him as a faithful witness, the first begotten from among the dead, and a prince above the kings of the earth. You can depend entirely upon what he says. He is a faithful witness. You can't trust people today, particularly in the political world. That is for sure. And in the religious world, that also is one gigantic mess. But one thing for sure, you can believe what he says. He says some will be saved, and he said some will be lost. It was never the Lord's intention that any soul go to hell. Never his intention. Dr. Torrey made the remark one day in one of his books that the Lord blockades the road to hell with his love. He does everything possible to keep a soul from going down into the pit. In the days of Noah, he preached for over 100 years and told of coming judgment. What was the result? There was a disrespect for the messenger. Look at that old fool building a ship on dry land. There was a disinterest in the message. He talked about judgment to come. And there was a diabolical display of evil. Now the Lord Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Do we not see that everywhere today? A disrespect for the messenger. We go out into the park in the summertime in my home assembly, and we preach the gospel outside rather than inside in the summertime. People passing up and down, up and down. Years ago, you'd have maybe 50 people standing listening, not today. Passing up and down. Disrespect for the messenger. A disinterest in the message. And you will agree with me, is a diabolical display of evil. I'm amazed at what we've seen the last 40 years. During my stay here in the United States, we came in 1952. Cannot believe the tremendous declension and the evaporation of morals is evident. We are living in the days of Noah. Finally, God says, Noah, this is it. I've had enough. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. Now the cubic capacity of the ark was greater than the Queen Elizabeth, the largest liner ever built. A rowboat would have been big enough for Noah and his family. That God made adequate provision in that boat for all the inhabitants of the then known earth. He's a God of love. He's a God of patience. But finally, his patience ran out. Yes, he says, some believe. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth unto him. Some will be saved, lost. The scripture said the broad road, many there be that go in the right. The narrow road, few there be that find it. Go to football stadiums today, thousands and thousands of people, occupied with the pleasures of this world. Many there be that go in the right. Few there be but find it. So there's luxury even to be here today to look into God's word with those who are interested in the message. A witness to believe, he is a leader to follow. A leader to follow. You can't follow men or you'll be in trouble. But following Jesus ever day by day, nothing can harm us when he leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, whatever befall, Jesus the shepherd is my all in all. And notice, thirdly, this God of salvation, he is a commander to obey. A commander to obey. Those of us who've been in the service, we know that if I was in the Navy, if a captain gave the order and you didn't obey, look out. For the Lord Jesus is a commander to obey. He said, a new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another. We must obey what he says in his precious word. Finally, we have the ground of salvation. We've looked at the gift. We have looked at the guarantee. The God, now the ground of salvation. How you get saved. Verse 6, seek. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Remember the men, the mystics from the east. They cover hundreds of miles seeking the Lord. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? The wise men sought him out, following the star. And they finally found the Lord Jesus lying on the lap of the Virgin. And the scripture says, and they worshipped him. They did not worship the mother. They worshipped him. They sought him out, they found him, and they went on their way rejoicing. There were men, and they were Greeks, and they came and said, Sir, we would see Jesus. They saw him out. And remember, Zacchaeus ran ahead of the crowd and went up in a tree, no doubt out of curiosity, to see the stranger from Galilee with all the power. And the Lord knew his need, gets to the foot of the tree, looks up, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today, I must abide at thy house, for as much as this day, salvation has come to thy house. Not only there was the curiosity, but it developed into faith. And the Lord Jesus returned that day with Zacchaeus to his house. We must seek him out. Notice the next word, call ye upon him while he's near. Remember blind Bartimaeus? What's going on? Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he called out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And let the wicked forsake his way. Nebuchadnezzar ate grass like an ox until finally confessed that there was a real God, the God of heaven. And upon his confession, God restored him to the throne. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Saul of Tarsus says, I thought to do things contrary to the name of the Lord Jesus. But oh, what a wonderful word this is, and let him return unto the Lord. That's the way of deliverance. Not to a new church, not to a new religion, but unto the Lord. And the scripture says, and he will abundantly pardon. Pardon from an offended God. Pardon for sins of deepest dye. Pardon bestowed through Jesus' blood. Pardon that brings the rebel nigh. Who is a pardoning godly being who has grace so rich and free? So, beloved, that is the road to deliverance. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee once again for giving to us, in the language that we understand, the sacred scriptures. We thank thee for everyone in our gathering, our Father, who made that U-turn and came to the cross. And that perchance is one here not saved, our Father, or in days to come, when we are turning to thyself, the God of our salvation. We give thee our heartfelt thanks for this privilege, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Shall we close by singing? Number 45. 45. Christ.